Welcome to the Church Multiplication Collective podcast. This is a podcast designed to help you multiply like never before. I am your host, Ed Love, and I oversee the Church Multiplication Collective, which is an intentional community of Wesleyan leaders committed to discovering, developing, and deploying workers for the Lord's harvest. I'm excited today. I'm going to be talking with Phil Bogier, who goes by the name Bogey. That's a cool little nickname. We're going to be talking with Bogey Bogier today. And I'm excited just about this story because Bogey is getting ready to plant the Bridge Church in Bloomington, Indiana. This is in the Indiana South District of the Wesleyan Church. And Bogey has responded to God's call and said, yes, I'm willing to go and I'm willing to plant this new church. Now, what's interesting about this setup, and this is what the topic we're going to talk about today, is Bogey would be planting in a season of life where he would be classified as an empty nester. The kids are out of the house, and him and his wonderful wife, Brenda, they're moving into a new community, and they're going to plant this new church. They're just in the process of that very early on. Currently, Bogey is serving at Lifeline Wesleyan in Greensburg, Indiana, and they just sent him out, kicked him out. So welcome, Bogey, to the show. Glad that you're here.
Thanks, Ed. Good to be here. Hopefully I can bring as much energy as you are.
I believe you will. Well, this is a really fascinating topic, and I'm really interested in learning from you. And I think just getting some of your storyline would be just really helpful to begin with. So why don't you just share a little bit of your backstory, what's brought you to this point, and what God is up to right now?
Sure, absolutely. Well, Brenda and I, we're in our late 30s, and Abigail, our daughter, was probably 8 or 9 when we really felt God was just tugging on our hearts to enter into something different. I'd been teaching elementary, coaching varsity level football and baseball for 17 years in public school. We were homeschooling Abigail at the time, and it came very apparent to me that God was dealing with my heart to let loose of security and to take a leap of faith. And once that was settled and we were obedient to his call, we ended up landing in inner city of St. Louis. And at that point, it was very obvious that our DNA going forward was going to be stepping into community, building relationships, and just sharing the love of Jesus, wherever that may take us.
Yeah, and then you were involved in a church plant later on, right?
Yes, we were, up in Wisconsin.
And you were part of the core team, one of the first people invited into the team, so you got to experience the church plant. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that opportunity presented itself when the lead church planter, Brent Bickle, and one of his team members, Craig Raymond, came down to our home in Illinois. Brent and I were on staff at a large church there, and we had also built from the ground up our own ministry retreat center. And the guys came down, and we prayed, and they had that ask if we would consider joining the team with them, which we would have been kind of the third group to come into that core team. And we prayed about it, and we felt like, yes, this is what God is asking us in terms of the next chapter. And at that time, we were empty nesters as well. Our daughter was living in Georgia, and we decided at that point to try to put things into motion. Obviously, God has a plan, and he's a God of order, and he had already started putting things in order. And we believe that the business we had, which was a ministry, was probably the biggest challenge that we had. And God just made the provision of a buyer. We basically just sent an email out to a couple that we had relationship with. And they said God had already been tugging on their heart to start something new. So they bought the ministry, bought the property, stepped into that. And within about 6 months, Brent and I were relocated in Madison, Wisconsin. Little did we know at the beginning of our process that our daughter understood we were empty nesters, decided she wanted to join that plant team as well.
Nice. And
she was 3 months ahead of us.
She moved back in the basement?
So actually we moved into a 2-bedroom apartment with our daughter. So the empty nesting was a short-lived time. Yeah. Yeah. It was great to have her come and join the team as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's gotta be a great experience. And you were part of that launching and member of the team, and you got to see the church plant roll out from there. So you had some great experiences. And then you most recently moved into, I think it was an associate pastor role at Lifeline Wesleyan in Greensburg.
Yeah.
And so you've been serving there on staff, and then God came knocking again on your door and said, would you be willing to go? And you ended up saying yes to this new church plant. Why don't you just share a little bit how God revealed that to you and how you responded? And then I think we're going to get to talking about, I want to talk about this topic of what it's like to plant as an empty nester. And sometimes there's a perception that church planters just have to, they're just the young guys going out there, you know, that are wild and crazy and got nothing to lose, right? And it's absolutely not true. And actually, there's some great advantages of the stage of life that you're in that I think we need to talk about, because there could be more people like you out there who maybe just don't feel adequate, or like, you know, that's not my thing. I need to, you know, slow it down a few gears, or check out of ministry and do something else. And that's completely the opposite for you. And you've got such a passion to reach lost people, and you're going for it. And that's just what pumps me up about your story. But tell us how God called you, and then we'll get into this this topic.
Well, we are crazy. We just don't have that young component. I think you have to be a little bit crazy when you get into the world of church planning.
Yeah, you do. And
really,
not me.
Yes. Well, I said earlier, you know, our late 30s when we accepted that first call. And obviously, at that point in time, we were thinking about our second half, if you will. And what was that going to be? Was it going to be success, or was it going to be significant from the Bob Buford book? And we really believe that God wanted us to have a life of significance, not necessarily success and comfort. Even though we were in that small community, we were on some acreage, we completely set up our home, kind of for retirement, but retirement was not in God's plan. It was not in our DNA. So you mentioned how God called us now to this next phase as far as Bloomington and church planning. God appeared in the way of a district superintendent. Would be Mark Eckert, came to us in late January and just asked if we would consider being church multipliers in the Indiana South District. Again, prayed about it, but it obviously was obedience at that time, and we had settled that long ago, and we knew that that call that we received from Mark was truly God saying, okay, Bogey, Bren, it's time for you to move on, to plant, to build relationships, and to build my church. So at that point in the game, we had aging parents. You talk about life cycles and phase of life. Yep. Both of our parents, my dad and her mom, are in the community of Greensburg. And we were really struggling with some health issues with them and caring for them and kind of questioning God, is this really the time, let alone the place? And my mother-in-law went to a her savior, March 1, and my dad went to be with his savior on the 13th of May. God took care of those phase of life issues as well. We realized that when we made the decision back in February, yes, we were going, we still had parents that were going to be in a different community than we were going to be and still have issues and need care, but God took care of that, and they are truly home now.
Yeah.
our home now here on earth is going to be Bloomington. We're very excited about what God is doing. We're just joining and partnering with what he's doing. He's already there. We're just going to move into the neighborhood, start connecting with people, building relationships, and just showing them the love of Jesus. And we're excited about the future because it's in God's hands.
Yeah, that's so neat. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what it's like at this stage in your life? And you never know if your daughter's going to show back up and be a part of your team, but you're empty nesters.
We are.
You're in the baby boomer generation.
That's true.
I'm 58 or so, and you're going for it, filled with passion and excitement to see this new work happen. Just tell us, what is that like for you going into this new season?
Well, it's extremely exciting, but it's anxious moments as well. I mean, to be honest, you're going into new territory. You're going into a different culture. We're going to be in a college town, Indiana University, some 45,000 students. Yeah. The community of Bloomington itself, about 85,000. You know, we've been in a small community here in Greensburg with no college. So the culture is going to be different, to say the least. Our daughter is married and has two children and living in Georgia, 800 miles away. So her life is pretty tight right now, and I don't see her uprooting and joining us as a team. But, yeah, I think we're pretty secure in empty nesting.
Yeah, and so here's an advantage of planting in this stage because, I mean, you are completely flexible, where a lot of younger leaders, and especially when you're just starting to have kids, and, you know, I planted my two churches while we're raising our kids in that phase, and it is incredibly stressful, difficult. You feel this financial pressure. You've got to provide, you know, and you're not as flexible. Kids take up a lot of your time, you know, and that's just reality. And so you're in this, you're able to move. You can go wherever. You're free to do that. You have, you know, a little bit more room in the schedule, you know, to make time with other people, you know, and actually reaching people who are far from God. What is that? What are some of the other advantages that you might see planting in this season?
Yes. Well, Brent and I have been very intentional since leaving in Illinois and moving to Wisconsin to plant and then coming back to Indiana to make sure that our roots weren't deep in real estate. It wasn't deep in necessarily those things of the world that would bind you or you know, be in bondage to. If that call came, we would be very readily accessible to accept that call and move on a moment's notice. And that's why, you know, renting property and being flexible in terms of our schedules and not being tied down necessarily to the property or a place. But I think, too, with children, with a home and property, your schedules, you are definitely tied down in that realm. Whereas empty nesters and not having those responsibilities as far as necessarily property, it's allowed us not only to have a flexible schedule, but we have more expendable time. We don't have children in their schedule and, you know, the necessity to make sure that they are getting where they need to be when they need to be there. So we do have that opportunity to be more independent in regards to the relationships that we're going to start.
Yeah, I love that. There's just a lot of time that you're able to invest in others and to actually see this new work start, you know. I think also there's something to be said about reaching the next generations. And you mentioned you're in a college town, you know, and it'd be great to reach some college students, maybe the millennial generation, the even the up-and-coming Gen X generation, or Gen Z, the the Gen X's are old now. We're on to the Gen Z's. And what would be your outlook when it comes to reaching younger generations?
Well, I think most importantly, Ed, that those millennials or that Generation Z is you start to build your team, that core team, with those millennials and with those Generation Z. So those that you are reaching out to will see that you are serious and that you do have a voice and that you do value that generation. I think it's very important that we are real, that we're authentic, we're true to who we are in making those connections and building relationships, and we don't pretend to be something that we're not just for the opportunity maybe to connect with them. I think the opportunity to offer, you know, some wisdom and some counseling, just experiences of life, is something that they would gravitate to.
Right.
I think it's also very important that we make sure that they know they have a voice, that they have a place. And as much as we can mentor them, the reverse mentoring, they have much to offer to the ministry as well.
Right, right. And that's kind of your outlook, right?
Absolutely.
I can see that being a huge advantage for your new work here. You see a lot of emerging generations actually longing for relationships with older generations, partly because maybe they missed out on some of that wisdom imparting, the counsel, the guidance. And they're looking for some of the former generations that may have more of a steady track, just being able to offer life wisdom and perspective along the way. I think that is a huge advantage. I also wonder about this too. There's something to be said about, you know, when you're young in ministry, you know, you end up making a lot of mistakes. I can look back in my track and I have a lot of mistakes. And when it comes to church planning, when I first began, you know, there was very limited resources out there on actually helping you plan. And now there's a plethora of resources, but there's that sense of, you know, I really don't know what I'm doing. I know God's called me to do this new work, and so I'm going to go for it. But honestly, there's a lot of trial and error. And to some degree, your experience through life, just your understanding of people, and your experience in ministry, all that kind of comes together to this point where you could probably enter into this new work with a little bit more confidence, even though I'm sure it's scary, but there is some confidence there of knowing what decisions to make and how to move forward. What would you say to that as you're moving forward? Would you have any other thoughts?
Well, Brendan and I definitely are secure in our faith. We're secure who we are in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we are stable. And I think offering that stability and helping that next generation find their identity in Christ and not everything that the world's throwing at them and the culture and the whole aspect of things are so radically changing fast. The pace is even, I think, challenging for them to keep up with it, they would admit it. And I think they do long for something that's a little bit more simple, something that is more clear. And I think if we can identify what that vision, what that mission, what that purpose is, and they can connect with that and know that they have a significant role, they have a part in making a difference in their community and beyond, I think that is truly something that will draw them to Jesus and where he wants them to be shaped and become.
Yeah, yeah, that's so good. I love what you just said about being firmly secure in your identity in Christ and then allowing your ministry to flow out of that. Which is the hard lesson to learn early in ministry, right? You know, sure. So often we get just wrapped up into this identity, and the ministry becomes our identity, or those sorts of things. You know, and it's kind of like you've experienced that. You're beyond that.
Sure.
Now you can.
Well, and ministry is so contextualized.
Yeah.
Sorry. Ministry is so contextualized, and I think, quite honestly, regardless of what culture you're stepping into, you're just going to have to adapt. You're going to have to start to feel your way through that and just find the mind of God and the direction of the Holy Spirit would guide us through that process. But again, knowing who you are in Christ is such an important foundation to build on and go forward. And really, Brent and I's DNA is we're people. We want to build relationships. We want to connect with people. And we want to have them into our home. We want to get into their home. And we just want to do life together. And we want to do it in such a way that Jesus is exalted and that he's the one that we're pursuing. And we want to connect people with him because ultimately it's about making disciples.
Absolutely. Love it. Love it. Absolutely love it. That is a great, great word to end on right there. And I want to thank you, Bogey, for sharing your story with us today. This is incredible. Really appreciate you just being open and honest.
Appreciate the opportunity.
And I hope we see a lot more empty nesters planting. I think it's a great opportunity. And just being able to respond to God's call all the way through life. And
take that Nike motto. Just do it.
Just do it. Just go for it. Well, thank you, Bogey, so much for sharing your story. You
fist bump.
Fist bump. Boom. You've been listening to the Church Multiplication Collective podcast. We'll see you next time, everybody.